Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another week of
Lucas and Lee Podcast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hopefully your phone does not overheat this time, Lucas.
You gotta love Steve Jobs and the adventures he made. As soon as he left Apple and left us, everything went downhill.
It all went downhill. Hey, so we got a pretty packed podcast this week, so let's just dive right into it. Okay. Fact I found on the gram this week. 90,000 women file for divorce versus only 300,000 men.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all because men and women are completely different. Women have expectations in a relationship and don't always voice what the expectations are. And men just sit around and are pretty dumb at the fact that they think, well, I can just go to work, come home, sit down, watch TV, drink a beer, live my life like that, not go out to dinner, not go out to brunch or whatever, and just hang around the house. And then the woman gets frustrated and the guy doesn't even realize anything's going wrong. And then all of a sudden, like 10 years, 5, 10, 15 years into the relationship, the woman's like, I've wasted enough time with you. I'm moving on. And the guy's like, huh? What happened? Doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, regular relationships are mostly women. Like, if it's not even marriages, but relationships are ended in general by women way more than men. I think it's like 70%.
I should know. It is 70%. But I mean, you're right. I mean, too often, a lot of guys look. And I'll take my ex-wife and me for example. Our first 2 years of our relationship was great. 1 year dating, 1 year being engaged. We were able to go out, do things. We kept it fun. We kept it exciting. COVID hit and we couldn't do that. We were on top of each other. And I think we both got frustrated with that. Especially at the very beginning of COVID, I was super frustrated. And obviously she got frustrated. I mean, the fact that what made our relationship magic in the first place couldn't take place because of the restrictions we were under in COVID. We were two very independent people and we thrived on that. And that independence was taken away. And the result is we got divorced. But I mean, you're right. Look, people, you gotta keep, especially guys. I think a problem is they get to a part where they're done wooing and they think it's on coast level. And you gotta keep on wooing. You gotta keep on wooing your significant other. You gotta keep on showing her why she chose you. You gotta do the things like go to dates. You gotta do the things like show your appreciation for them by buying them gifts for no reason. Not because it's a birthday or it's an anniversary, but just, hey, I was thinking of you and here's what I got you. And guys stop doing that. And that's where women just become frustrated.
Yeah, and it's not really in men's nature to do that. If you look at single men and single women, they act completely different. Every single woman I know is out Saturday getting their nails done, going out to dinner, going to happy hours and having fun. The thing guys do is hang around the house, watch sports, invite their friends over, sit around, have beers. They're not really into going out and doing like anything. They don't do big things on their own like women do.
Well, let's be very clear. If there's a Florida Gator game on, then sitting around the house is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, well, you know, but most women aren't down with that. That's like, women would rather go to the game. Like, you can take a woman to a game and she'll be cool with it. But there are women out there. There are women out there that will sit around and watch football all day on Sunday. There's just not that many. Even the sport fan women kind of would rather be at the game.
Man, you need to mix it up. You know, like I said, you need to mix it. You can't just be a one-trick pony. You have to try. The women want to see effort.
You have to try.
And vice versa. Guys need to see effort too. Guys need to see effort from women. You know, women need to show guys that they care, that they matter, obviously, but also guys need to, you know, show their appreciation for women. Look, if it's someone you're super interested in, super into, get them a gift. Just not get them a gift on the first date.
None of that. No gifts. Flowers on the first date's all right. A bottle of wine on the first date's all right, but not necessary.
If it's someone you're invested in, Show them that appreciation. Take them out to dinner. Bring flowers just for no reason. Get them a gift just because you were thinking of it.
And I'll tell you what, if you treat your girl really well and you get her in that soft girl era, like you'll get her to that soft girl era, she'll move mountains for you. She'll clean the house for you. She'll rub your feet. She'll do whatever. Once a girl's in love with you, she'll do anything for you. And she will take extremely good care of you. But let me tell you, as soon as you let her down, bam, that stops.
Yeah, you need, like I said, you need to show the appreciation.
Yes.
Like throughout the entire relationship.
And put the effort in every day.
It's like when my ex and I were getting married and it was time for the marriage prep. And look, I literally was just tell me where to be on wedding day and I will be there. I don't care about what the actual marriage looks like or what the ceremony looks like. And she asked.
That doesn't go over well. That does not go over well.
Well, no. Either. Well, she asked why. Because look, we were adults. We had a conversation about it. And obviously I was there for the taste testing. Let's be very clear. When it came time to taste the wedding cake, I was the first one in line. But I told her, I'm like, hey, look, that's great for that day. But to me, it's every day after that that matters. To me, it's every day after that where I need to put the effort in, where I need to put the work in, where I need to show you made the right choice in marrying me as your husband.
Yeah.
Especially with my ex-wife, because as we all know, I was batting way above my average with that one. But yeah, it's, you know, women, you know, the stats are lopsided. And guys, just got to take a look in the mirror on that one. Really, well, really do.
Absolutely. But I also think men will stay in a loveless relationship forever and women won't.
Because it's comfortable.
A guy doesn't, like I said, I don't know if I said this earlier or before my phone overheated, but guys don't need much. They really just need a television, a couch in the living room, and they'll be 100% happy. You don't even have to show a man too much affection. So they'll stay in a loveless marriage way more than a woman will. A woman in a loveless marriage is a ticking time bomb. They're going to leave eventually.
Yeah, guys in a loveless marriage is like, oh, hey, yay, I get to sit around and do nothing all day long. I get to be Al Bundy. I get to be Al Bundy.
Yeah, exactly. Loveless marriages, they'll stay in those forever.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of that, I came across a new term this week.
What's that term?
Mankeeping.
Mankeeping. So tell me what mankeeping is.
Mankeeping is apparently where your significant other becomes your both social and emotional crutch.
Okay.
They become your therapist. They become your best friend. They become your, take that back, not your best, your only friend. It's like a man's entire social structure revolves around his significant other.
And I know a lot of men that suffer from that.
And it apparently is burning women out. It is burning women out of relationships.
Well, I think that women want a strong man. I think they want a strong man emotionally, a strong man physically, somebody that's kind of a protector, you know, somebody that can take care of them in a financial bind if they needed it. Not that they necessarily need it, but if they never did. And if you're constantly taking care of your man and he doesn't have anybody else taking care of him, she's going to learn. Women will go into the masculine energy easily because they can.
Yeah.
And as soon as they do that, as soon as a woman goes into the masculine energy, she'll resent the guy because no longer she doesn't need him. She's everything. Why would she want to do all that for a person who she was hoping would be able to do all that for her?
And you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but once again, I think my marriage is a perfect example of that. Not by my choice, obviously. As we know the story. My ex-wife was my caretaker for 8 months. She was my actual physical caretaker. She's the one who made sure I stayed alive. And I would tell her, you're going to resent me. I would be in bed.
Well, you called it.
I would be in bed. And I remember I started saying this around, God, November of 2021. And she would like bring me my lunch. She made my lunch. She would bring it to me. you know, made sure it was nutritionally what I needed, given my dietary restrictions at the time. And I told her, you're going to resent me. And she's like, no, I'm not. This is what I signed up for, you know, sick or poor. And I was just like, you're going to resent me. I'm another child right now. I am a child.
And that's fair. Because they do have motherly instincts, yeah. And they will take care of you.
And in fact, so, and not to dive too deep into it, but a total funny story. So when your liver's not functioning, the ammonia builds up in your body. It needs to go somewhere. Usually the liver expunges it out of your body. Well, my liver was zero functionality. So it would go up to my brain. The ammonia would go up into my head. I would wake up in the morning and I just would be like speaking in tongues. I would think the bathroom was in the closet, very disoriented. And the doctors told her this was going to happen. They said, if it happens, put him in the car, bring him down to the ER. And the first time that happened, I remember, because I could, it's like my brain wasn't messed up. I could remember what was happening, but what was coming out of my mouth just wasn't making sense. And so they take me to the ER and I'm on the table. I got the neurosurgeons looking at me. My wife is sitting off to the side and they're asking me questions and they're like, who's that? And I point to her and I say, that's my mom.
Oh.
So yeah, she became my caretaker and she probably to this day won't admit it. And I can't blame her. She resented me. I think at the end of the day, she resented me and I don't blame her.
It's unfortunate, but that's the way the world works.
That is unfortunately the way the world works.
And it's something that we have to deal with. And there's too many men that, I mean, I'm glad that you're strong enough that you can sit there and go, this is, because you're 100% strong enough to take full ownership for what happened. Not that it's your fault, but you understood what was going on. Most men that aren't going through what you're going through that have women taking care of them can't figure it out.
Yeah, oh no, they think it's perfectly fine. They think it's perfectly fine instead of realizing this woman is becoming the masculine. She's becoming the man in the relationship.
Yeah, and it's 100% resentful.
And guys need to, God, this feels like the guy bashing episode, Lucas. But
I'm like keeping it real. I mean, I don't like bashing.
Guys need to be able to step up. Your significant other should be your best friend. That should be your best friend.
It can't be your only friend.
Can't be what your social life revolves around. Definitely can't be your therapist. That you go hire a professional for that. If you need a therapist, go talk to a professional. Don't talk to your significant other.
It definitely makes you look weak. You don't want to appear weak.
No. You start going in the woods. It's time for professional help. So. Yeah. You know, Lucas, speeding it along here, speaking of weak men, you know, we are going to be the second most popular podcast this week.
These are bashing men.
Second most popular one. So there was a podcast hosted by the Kelce brothers that had...
Oh, yeah. With Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift on it, which apparently broke all sorts of records.
Yeah, it's a really long podcast too, and the average streamer stayed on for almost 2 hours of it. So,
oh yes, and they were all
insane.
They were all
it's insane. It's, you know, anybody can say what they want to say about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has really managed to crack the code on how to make fans super, super, super loyal. Because I'll tell you what. They didn't have podcasting when Madonna was out, but I don't think people would have sat through a 2-hour podcast of Madonna.
Also, speaking of breaking the code, I think Taylor Swift has broken the code of how to live rent-free inside of every weak MAGA guy's head.
Yeah.
100%. And here's the befuddling thing. Here's the befuddling thing. Okay. How many guys got all mad when Taylor Swift started showing up at NFL games and all the focus was on Taylor Swift? How many guys? And first of all, if we did a Venn diagram about with those guys and who voted for Trump, it would be a circle. It would be a circle.
Well, what's interesting though is that I understand she's given a light opinion about politics, but she's far from an activist.
They're just, these are, and here's the hypocritical part. All these guys probably play on beer leagues on Tuesdays and Thursdays for softball. And if they got a girlfriend or a wife, hey, babe, you want to come to my softball game? Why don't you want to come to my softball? What Taylor Swift is doing is supporting her man.
She's supporting her man. I just don't get why it became political, because she's not, it's not like John Lennon who like literally, you know, put a line in the sand. This is my viewpoint. And his music was political. That's the first person that came to mind who was a political singer, but there's been others out there. Taylor Swift isn't doing any of that.
No, she's not, but it was a convenient.
So it's very bizarre that it became so political.
If there's anything that Donald Trump, our president, does well, is see a point of weakness that his followers or people who would follow him have and exploit it. And I think he saw that. He saw all these guys getting mad of the NFL paying all this attention to Taylor Swift, of during broadcasts, them panning up to Taylor Swift instead of, oh, they should focus on the guys on the field. And he saw it and he exploited it, because those people, like I said, people who get mad at Taylor Swift during NFL season and people who voted for Trump, if we were to do a Venn diagram, it'd be a circle. It'd 100% be a circle. And I just, the fact that A, they get pissed at someone coming out and supporting her man, and B, they get mad at the NFL when the NFL is doing smart business.
Well, it's not even the NFL. It's a TV. That's like doing
the NFL got in it. TV got in it. It is called smart business. Here you have a superstar with a rabid and loyal following. 100%, you're going to latch onto that and get new fans, made new fans, and bring in more money. I mean, it's just smart. And what you see is a bunch of beta males out there getting all butt hurt because the attention. Is not only is it on a woman, it is on a woman who's probably the most recognizable superstar in the United States, I would venture to say. And look at her impact. It's been the most watched podcast ever. I mean, people have spent 2 days decoding what her 12th album is going to be about and how it came about. I mean, she gets eyeballs. She gets eyeballs. And that should be celebrated. That should 100% be celebrated. And instead you have all these guys who quite frankly have a problem with women being successful and they get their panties in a bunch. It's been a pretty hard week for beta males.
Every week's hard for beta males.
You're 100% correct. Every week is hard for beta males, but look, the Swift Kelce podcast will beat our podcast out by just a few million listeners.
Just a few.
But I.
If you unbutton your shirt a little bit more, you might get more ratings.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody. Zero people. Zero people want to see me unbutton my shirt. And I do mean zero people.
Do you remember the Pussycat Dolls? Loosen up those buttons.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Yes, I remember the Pussycat Dolls very well. Okay, enough about the fact that Taylor Swift had probably the best week ever, would be my guess. That she's all people have been talking about the past few days. You know, Lucas, I need to know. Little Leaguers are in Williamsport right now. Has Jim Degoni given you any tips on who to bet on in the Little League World Series?
He was telling me to do Latin America, so I'm going to go against that and take California.
I mean, going with the Latin Americans is always good money, even if Marco Rubio did try to stop the Venezuelan team from coming to the United States.
I know. I think that the Latin American team has a very good shot at winning. I'm going with LA, though, the Southern California team. I think that that's... I think it's the best American team. I think that we have four major leaguers on that squad. So future major leaguers. So that's my pick.
Oh, man, you're going deep in the analysis of the little leaguers here, Lucas.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it doesn't get better than the Little League World Series. It's so great seeing all these different people loving baseball from all different economic in different parts of the world, and it's just it's such a I love. There's two sports that I think have millionaires playing them and people that live on dirt floors playing them. I mean, there's only one sport, two sports that do that, and that's baseball and football. Baseball and soccer, the two international sports. You have people that live in America. Some of them make millions of dollars, and they're playing, and they play on these well-manicured fields, and it's just an unbelievable experience for them. And then you have people that live on dirt floors with no plumbing playing that same sport, and it's so amazing to see. That's why I love soccer, and I'm super pumped up for the World Cup, and I love Little League World Series. I love all that. I love international baseball, international soccer as well.
So, speaking of Little Leaguers, true or false, the LA team, LA Little League team could currently beat the San Francisco Giants if they played in a game.
100% true. I think that whoever is pitching for the LA team could throw a no-hitter versus the San Francisco Giants. And I know people are to come back and go, how dare you say that? Nestor Cortez, the guy that gave up the home run to Freddie Freeman in the World Series and hasn't pitched well since that game. He looked like Cy Young, Sandy Koufax, Roger Clemens. Take your pick versus the Giants. I was at that game. The team is Bob Melvin. After they lost 11-1 on Wednesday, Bob Melvin should have been escorted out of the stadium. I'm tired of the excuses. I'm tired of saying in zero energy, zero accountability. There's nobody with any fire. The only guy that said anything was Willie Adames, that said, we don't have any passion in the locker room right now. We're not the same team that was playing in July. They need to find that. Maybe they'll find it this weekend versus the Tampa Bay Rays, but I don't trust it. If they sweep Tampa Bay, they got to keep the winning streak going for another 10 games, because what they do is they'll win like three games in a row and then go out and lose 14-0 and then lose like five straight.
Tell me how you really feel, Lucas.
Yeah, you know, the last exciting game they played was the game we were at.
It was, yes. That was amazing. That Giants.
That was a great game.
That was the most exciting baseball game I've ever been to.
And by the way, that's one of their two wins in the last 2 months at home.
Oh, my gosh. That's bad.
They've won two games in 2 months.
That's just bad. Speaking of bad, and I should have asked this question earlier, but, you know, we talked about GIFs last podcast. We touched upon it in this podcast, which begs the question. Lucas, what is the most expensive gift you have ever bought anyone you were dating or interested in?
Well, I would have to say dating would be a Louis Vuitton purse. So, and that was probably about $1,300. I think that's the most for me. And I was dating her. It wasn't love bombing. So I was actually in a relationship. What's the most expensive thing you bought?
Mine was a little more expensive, but mine was also Louis.
Oh,
it was a Louis. Only time I've ever done that, by the way.
Yeah, I would never do it again, and I would never suggest doing it. But we both have to give each other props, because we actually were able to walk into a Louis Vuitton store and not get escorted out like Jose Altuve was in Houston.
I did. I surprised her. This was my first actual relationship, like, not relationship, dating, actual dating post my ex-wife filing for divorce. Wasn't final.
Oh, so it was recent when you did that.
It was 22. It was the fall of 22.
Mine was back in like 2013. So
I went down to LA, and you know, when I'm in LA, I always stay in Beverly Hills. And I said, screw it. And we're still friends. We are still friends.
Still has the purse?
She says she uses it every day. To her credit, she said it was the best gift she'd ever received. Bar none. But if there's one thing, and that was, look, I was freshly out of a marriage. That was me overcompensating. Honestly.
Yeah, it's always overcompensating.
Yeah, that was me overcompensating. To where I've now grown. And look, if I'm interested in you, gift giving is one of my love languages. If I'm interested in you, I will give you gifts. But they're going to be more like inside joke, not inside joke, but like inside baseball, more personal. Gifts that have more meaning.
Yeah.
Gifts that
not
have
just money.
No, not just money. You know, gifts that to me mean a lot. That, you know, if you're getting those kind of gifts from me, like my interest in you is like sky high. Because that, you put thought and effort into that. I mean, the fact that you put the thought and the effort into, you want to surprise this person with this gift because it is very personal to you and it means a lot to you. I mean, that's, you're in pretty deep with that person. And I think when you get to that stage, I think it's a great place to be when you get to that stage. And, you know, the key is keeping it there, as we discussed earlier. So,
yes, keep it interesting.
So that being said, it's time for the worst week ever. And Lucas, I think there's only one winner this week.
Yeah.
I sent you the Instagram clip. Some bozo on an American Airlines flight decided to film an attendant, basically booting him off of the plane because he needed to take up, and they had to, like, they couldn't take off. They could not take off. They had to delay the plane taking off because he felt the need to take a puff of his vape in the bathroom.
Yeah, in a bathroom, on a plane. He couldn't wait. And this was like even before the plane took off, right?
Yeah. So the plane didn't get take off. They had to have security come on in, escort him out. And the part that makes him like definitely worst week ever and loser of the week, let's be very clear, is that he filmed this whole thing thinking he was going to get sympathy because he only took one puff of his vape pipe. And literally everyone in the comments is calling him a complete moron.
Yeah, it's against the law.
He outed himself as being an idiot.
Yes, he's a clown.
Oh, so yeah, American Airlines vape guy, you have had the worst week ever.
Ever.
And that, everyone, is the podcast for the week.
Next week, you're back here. You're back in town.
Next week, I am back in Cali for a couple of weeks. That is correct. Because, you know, after that, Florida Gator football season starts, Lucas.
I know, yeah. It's in full swing.
You know where I'm going to be.
Heck yeah.
Okay, Lucas, it's been a pleasure. Everyone,
peace.